Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
I'm Betsy Reed, executive editor of The Nation, and I have Jane McAlevey on the phone. She has written a piece in this week's issue called Blues and Greens, Get It Together. In the piece, Jane, you write about the Labor Environmental Alliance, otherwise known as the Blue-Green Alliance, and you report that it is in, you know, rather a state of disrepair. And how did you see that manifesting itself? I mean, we had recently had this big environmental victory, right, in the Keystone XL fight.
Yeah, I think that what happened is, A, it's not entirely clear that even though we've had one or even two rounds of sort of President Obama saying that he's going to reject the Keystone XL pipeline, which of course is really about delivering very dirty, very highly climate science disaster sort of tar sands oil from Canada, the truth is, A, we're not sure if it really is a victory. Obama has made some statements in the last few weeks that indicate, in fact, we're not really sure if what was appearing to be a victory is going to be a victory. And in large part, that's because there's a fundamental disagreement that's playing out very publicly in the Keystone fight between key elements of the labor movement and some very pro-union environmentalists on the other side. And it's that conflict that the movement's got to overcome in order for us to try and create good jobs and save the planet. We didn't really hit the mark on both of those issues in the rounds of the Keystone fight so far.
But we've been talking for years about the importance of this blue-green alliance. Why is it that we've kind of failed to really solidify it?
I think one of the challenges is that if we look at the times that we've seen sort of victory or alliance making between blues and greens in the last 30 to 40 years, it's largely been A, kind of episodic, meaning there's no consistency to it, and then B, it's usually when the situation isn't that hard, meaning it's kind of a win-win situation. What we have not yet been able to do is stare down a very difficult, a tense issue where there's real things at stake, like the Keystone XL pipeline. We have yet to really hit a very difficult issue, especially an energy-related issue when it comes to jobs and the environment, and actually kind of tackle it and overcome it together.
Can you explain what are those difficult issues in the case of Keystone?
You know, so in the Keystone fight, we basically had an issue with a pipeline at a time of high unemployment where the call by some absolutely fantastic climate campaigners, the call in the campaign was to not build the pipeline. And sitting on the other side of that call was Terry O'Sullivan, the national president, general president, leader of the laborers union, saying, wait a minute, I've got potentially 5,000 jobs here. And some days he actually took the oil industry's message of having far greater number of jobs. But if we agree that there were at least 5,000 jobs at stake in the Keystone XL pipeline, we had a basic mismatch between high unemployment, particularly for construction industry workers. Their unemployment sits at 17% right now. You've had him up against a call by very well-intentioned, very pro-union climate campaigners demanding no pipeline. And what there wasn't was a serious effort to say, okay, we've got to, on the environmental side, we've got to build in a job solution right into this fight. We've got to make it part of our demand that there's going to be a different 5,000 jobs created as part of this campaign in order for us to have any hope of overcoming these kind of issues going forward. And what's scary is you can hear it on the presidential campaign. Everything is about domestic energy. Everything's about national security coming from domestic energy, with fracking, with deep well oil drilling. We've got endless Keystone XL pipeline fights staring us in the face immediately as a movement. And right now we're set up to fail.
Now, there are some unions that did actually side with the environmentalists against the Keystone pipeline, right?
Yes, it's true. Both of the transport-related unions in this country specifically actually came out realizing that the future of their unions is involved in mass transportation and in a clean energy economy. We had two major unions siding with the Keystone folks. And then late in the game, we had Domestic Workers United, which is an organization that maybe is the future of the labor movement, but it is not yet seen as a significant union inside of this country. We had those folks actually side with the climate campaigners and say that we cannot afford to build anything that's going to extract tar sands from the ground, which is the correct position. The challenge is that the most of the House of Labor stayed completely silent when one labor leader, which is Terry O'Sullivan, went on something like a rampage.
He was actually viciously attacking the unions that did join with the Greens, right?
He viciously attacked the unions that joined with the Greens, and in some ways what people aren't acknowledging is that it had an effect. It really had an effect. He shut down the House of Labor on this issue. And even though Rich Trumka and folks will say, hey, the AFL-CIO officially didn't come out and endorse the pipeline, which would have been really the disaster, the truth is, the way the American Petroleum Institute portrayed the support of the four unions that were actively campaigning for the pipeline, which included the Building Trades Department of the AFL-CIO, the general public and the environmental movement certainly thinks that the House of Labor, all of the House of Labor, supports the Keystone XL pipeline. And that's a disaster from a solidarity perspective right now.
So what kind of solidarity will actually work and enable us to revive this crucial alliance?
You know, I think that there's two different things happening. At the national level, we have to think more about something that we call active solidarity, which simply means, one, we take sort of a do-no-harm approach, meaning if, in the case of the labor movement, they say, hey, environmentalists, hey, community organizations, hey, women's movement, we need all of you to help us here in Wisconsin and Ohio because we're getting clobbered unfairly, for example, in the last year in the public sector fight, everyone's got to agree and actually go help them. But likewise, in the Keystone XL fight, what the Keystone XL pipeline and tar sands extraction means to the environmental movement, it sort of was the Wisconsin and Ohio of the labor movement for the environmentalists. And what labor needs to do is say, we got to suck it up and take this on, even though it's a very divisive issue, it's a very tough issue for us. When one major movement sector that's pro-union, in this case, the climate campaigners like Bill McKibben and others at 350.org who are pro-union, call on their allies to cease and desist in an effort and help them, that's got to be a mutual agreement at the national level.
But on the other side of it, you call them pro-union, the environmentalists who organized against Keystone. But in reality, they did not build a jobs demand into their campaign, right?
No, so
you know, a long way to go also on the other side of it in order to be able to kind of really speak credibly to the labor movement, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, you know, in the piece we talk about the reality that pro-union Greens need to go from articulating their pro-union position to actually building the solution to the jobs crisis right into their campaigns. And that is a sort of fundamental lesson that the Green side can take away from the Keystone effort so far. And again, the concern here is, we haven't seen the end of the Keystone XL fight. We just haven't seen it. We don't know what's going to happen next. And for us to heal it, I would suggest we've got to move right away. There's no time to waste trying to figure out, is there a different way to get 5,000 construction workers in the Midwest a job if we're not going to have them build the Keystone pipeline?
I hope people will read Jane McAlevey's provocative article in The Nation. Thanks so much, Jane.
Thank you.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.